everybody, and welcome to Red Wine and Mystery Stories, the top podcast on the internet for drunken people discussing mysteries. I am your host, Jill Buck, and who am I here with today?
Oh, thanks for inviting me onto the show. I'm Patrick M. Dunn. I'm here, friend of the show, long-time listener, first-time guest host. Maybe second time guest. I don't know. You've done it a few times. I don't know how many.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a ladies month here at the pod. We let ladies talk.
Yeah. I've introed a few times. Yeah. Switching it up. Today, I am hosting because I actually did the majority of the research on this topic. This is one that is near and dear to my heart.
Look at you. Using the Dewey Decimal System, looking up facts.
Yep. Yeah. It was like.
Did you use Wikipedia?
I actually did not. But one of the articles I found was from Fox News. So I feel like that's just as reliable as Wikipedia, if not less so.
Actually, I think Wikipedia is an excellent source of information.
You just can't trust that it's right.
Inaccurate information immediately gets taken down. It's just, it has this whole. Like, the educational system is against it for some lame reason, because they just want people to spend hours doing research.
Well, because anybody can edit it, so it might not actually be accurate. Somebody could just be putting crap up that they think is correct.
However, though, listen to this. I've thoroughly researched this.
Mm-hmm. Did you research it on Wikipedia?
I did not. I talked to actual scholars. A few scholars Ooh. Told me that Wikipedia is probably one of the most reliable sources of information. Anytime anyone edits it, it goes through a review. And inaccurate information is usually taken down pretty quickly.
Okay. I think the whole thing with, like, schools and stuff is they want people to be looking for, like, peer-reviewed journals and things like that. So they're trying to encourage people to actually look at the sources and, you know, see the scientific merit behind it before just blindly believing everything that they read.
But then you got to read like 87 articles to find like one piece of information that you need instead of just like hopping on Wikipedia, finding the fact.
I understand.
Pro tip though, do you know what I do? I start with Wikipedia and then
look for the specific fact that you're trying to find like a good source for, because that's what I used to do.
Yeah, because if you go to the end of a sentence, they have the little like asterisk. It's like number 17. And then you just scroll down to the bottom of the page. And you find the source, and you just click on the source, and then just pretend you found it through there. So, ooga. So, fuck you, scholars.
There you go.
You can eat it.
All right. That's Patrick's hot take.
And please do eat it. No, I'm just kidding.
That's Patrick's hot take on scholarly sources and Wikipedia. Not what today is about.
Yeah. Well, I have to write a paper... that I haven't started yet for the class that I'm in now that's due on Monday, which is like, well, that doesn't make sense to the podcast listeners. It's due in like 3 days. But he was like, I urge you not to use Wikipedia. However, if you want to use Wikipedia, just scroll to the bottom and use the sources down there.
That's smart. See, at least he's realistic. Like, he knows what his students are about and what they're up to, right?
Yeah, I'm like, you've been on to my trick for the last, like, 15 years. Yes, I'm like a 15-year student here. I'm like,
You're a perpetual student. You're just one of those people that, like, you, like, take online classes and work towards something, and then you think you're done, and then you decide you actually want to learn about something else, so you take more classes, and you're just...
Yeah.
You're, like, stuck in a Groundhog Day-like loop of...
Educational loop.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love it. It's great. I get to learn all this hot stuff. Except when like they make you take a class that like you don't really want to take, but they force you to take it, and then you just kinda like, ugh, this sucks, and you just kinda like half ass it.
Yeah, that was
That's what I kinda feel like I'm in right now.
In one of my classes. That was like statistics. I fucking hated that class. It made zero sense to me.
I got like a B. I think I B'd my way through it.
Yeah. Same.
Did the bare minimum just to get me that passing grade. Shout out to the educational system. All right.
So shall we get into our actual topic today?
Yeah.
Now that we've gone on a tangent regarding the educational system in the U.S. and online courses.
I'm just like thinking I should just do like Patrick in the morning and I just talk about all my different corners.
Yeah. Patrick does like his corners. I picture you being like Dale Gribble in your basement with the broadcasting equipment.
Tin can thing, yeah. That, like, illegal, like, pump up the volume Christian Slater movie broadcast, like, just goes throughout the neighborhood. You have to be, like, within, like, 10 miles to hear it.
Yeah.
I think I was, like, explaining to my brother the podcast one time, and he actually said that. He's like, you're like Dale Gribble, just, like, recorded in your basement, and, like, in the dark.
We are a little bit, yeah.
Like, just a little. Not really in a basement, but
no,
if I had a basement, I probably would be.
Recording in from your walk-in closet.
Yeah.
You know, which has been recently made a popular thing by Donald Faison, recording in his walk-in closet.
Yes.
The Scrubs rewatch podcast with Zach Braff, which I gotta say, I am highly enjoying that podcast. They're doing good stuff. Behind the scenes, little factoids and everything. It's been fun. It's definitely been fun.
I'm gonna throw this out there. So, like, I was, like, a huge Scrubs fan. Like, I, like, seen every episode, like, as they aired.
Yep.
And then, like, 2 years ago, I was like, I think I'm gonna rewatch Scrubs. And I got, like, 3 seasons in, and I'm like, it doesn't hold up. I'm gonna throw that out there.
See, I really enjoyed it. Like, it's, there's a lot of things that don't hold up as far as, like, technology-wise because it came out so long ago, but...
It's not even that. It's just, like, just the storylines and the music and Zach Braff is just kind of, like over Zach Braff.
Well, the music, a lot of it has been changed because Hulu doesn't have access to the original music. I loved the music in the original run. Also, fun fact, the characters are actually based on real people. Like, JD, there is the director or writer or whatever, that's based on one of his friends from college who is an actual doctor whose name is JD.
No way. No way. Oh, wow. You just spoiled the first episode of the Scrubs podcast for me.
It's a well-known thing. And in real life...
I've never heard that before in my life.
He married the real-life Elliot.
Okay. I will say...
Boom. And his best friend is the real-life Turk.
All right. I still dig Turk and I still dig Elliot, but... I want, like, Scrubs, like, told from, like, another character's perspective, because I think in, like, 2018, when I watched...
Oh, are you, like, over Zach Braff?
I think, like, his career choices post-Scrubs, not so hot, not so hot. And I just kind of got over him.
I like a lot of his stuff. I like a lot of his stuff, but I know it's not your thing. Meh. Well, whatever. Anyway, this is not a podcast about Scrubs. So...
Not yet, anyway.
No. I mean, that might be one of our little bonus ep offshoots for our Patreon page.
I have a hot new idea. I have a hot new idea.
Okay.
We rewatch Scrubs. We go through it episode by episode, but we record from our separate bathtubs, and we call it Scrubs and Tubs.
Oh, my God. That's kind of excellent, and I'm kind of on board with that, but I don't have a bathtub. I just have a shower.
Ugh. All right. Well, you know what? I have two bathtubs. So the next time you're down, you'll go in the one tub. I'll go on the other tub, and we'll just kind of, like, video chat. We won't video chat, but you know what I mean.
We'll record separately and yell across the house to each other.
Well, we'll just talk into our, like, separate little, like, microphones and record it.
Yeah, like our So yeah, we can totally make that one of the bonus things that we do when I come visit.
Or we just play, like, we just create, like, tub sound effects and we just pretend we're in tubs.
That works too.
Because you know what, I feel like it's probably dangerous to be, like, around water and in recording devices.
Yeah, it's not the smartest.
I didn't think it through. We need, like, a film crew to do it, and you know what?
I mean, all we have right now is Bruce the intern, and I'm sure he's not thrilled about the idea of that, so.
Well, you know what? Maybe, like, one day, well, like, a hot tub. I would say a hot tub, but that'd be, like, too loud, I think. Too many bubbles and that little, like...
Too many bubbles, yeah. Lots of background noise.
We'll figure it out.
Yeah, we might have to settle the differences between Bruce the intern and High Tech Beth.
Yeah, our new lady intern, we're not thrilled with her. I've got to throw this out there. Not
she's not as sassy. She doesn't give the back and forth that we get with Bruce.
This is the best way to describe High Tech Beth. She's like Rachel Lee Cook, and she's all that before she took off the glasses. She's kind of mousy. She just kind of keeps herself. Her face is always in a book, and, you know, we ask her to do stuff, and she's just kind of like, oh, sorry. I'm over here reading War and Peace.
Oh, God.
Yeah, whatever books. I don't know. Danielle Steele. I don't know. I never pay attention. And Bruce is over here hustling, motherfucking hustling. He's, like, running wires. He's running cords.
Yeah. Bitching about it the whole time, but he gets his shit done, man.
Yeah, I'd, like, accidentally tip over the mic, and he, like, grabs it before it hits the ground and doesn't make that big
bang noise.
Yeah, that, like, sound shock noise. Yeah.
Yeah.
You drive it down the street, and, you know, you hear that on your in your radio, and you're like, oh, shit, I'm deaf now. Yeah. So good job, Bruce Intern, but I don't know. He's graduating. Yeah, and, well, you know what? The coronavirus, he might get one more semester because I think he dropped one of his classes. So,
oh yeah, that's entirely possible. So we might get him another semester. That'll be nice.
Yeah, he said he was going to do a summer course. So you know what, he'll graduate in December.
Fingers
yeah.
crossed. Maybe that's been canceled because of everything. Maybe it'll stretch on indefinitely.
I don't know, but if we get enough Patreon listeners, we get enough Patreon subscribers, maybe we can
actually
bring on Bruce full time as Bruce the paid employee.
Yeah, wouldn't that be nice? You could give him a salary. Yeah, I'm sure he'd appreciate it.
Like $2 an hour.
Plus tips.
Oops, I can't say that aloud, right?
No.
Yeah. Oh yeah. We'll pretend like we'll do like a we'll like classify him as a server so we have to like pay him like minimum wage.
That's terrible. Oh, that's terrible. So shall we actually get into today's topic now that we've been
babbling,
prattling on about
yeah,
this?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's about enough time.
Okay. All right. So
our adoring fans are tired of us babbling, Babylon 5.
I'm going to bring us in here. So picture it. America, 1587. Off the coast of North Carolina, to be exact. So it's an island. It's about 115 English settlers with a dream of colonizing the New World are about to become one of the country's oldest unsolved mysteries.
Ooh, yeah.
Ooh. Ooh. So, yeah, that's right. Tonight, we are delving into the mysterious disappearance of the Roanoke Colony.
Ooh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good one. This is one that I've wanted to do for a while.
Good use of the word delving. By the way,
I mean, I try to really just paint a picture with my words, so I got to use some fancy stuff.
I feel like we use that word often, though. I feel like we always say delving for some reason.
I think we do, and I think it's because we both enjoy that word.
Yeah, you know what? I don't use it in my personal life. I think I just specifically designate it to this podcast.
Use it in this podcast. It's entirely possible. So you gotta like throw a million of them in there so you get your like use of it in.
I think I said dwelling one time and you corrected me. You said no, it's delving, and I was like, oh, okay.
So shall we get into the basics, break down some of the you know what this is all about?
Yeah, the basic breakdown. I feel like that needs a theme song though.
A basic breakdown theme song. I'm gonna leave that one to you and Bruce.
Yeah, I'm thinking like break beats.
Oh God.
Some like 80s Run DMC-esque type hip-hop beats.
All right, yep, I could see that. Yeah, totally. So, basics. Let's break it down here. So, basically, these 115 people came over from England.
Hold on.
What's that?
The Bucks Basics. How about that?
Oh, boom. Yes, Bucks Basic Breakdown. Oh!
BBB. Move over, Better Business Bureau. We got the new BBB in town. Bucks Basic.
Yep.
All weekend long.
All right,
sorry.
That's okay. So, they come to this island, and they're like, we are going to start this colony. It's 1587. We got this. We got this. So they get their little shacks built and everything. And after starting up the colony, the governor, John White, he's like, yo, we need some more fresh supplies. We do not have enough to, like, manage this situation correctly. So he headed on back to the motherland in search of some, like, food and shit for his peeps.
I have a hot question.
Yep.
What was the name of that guy? The governor?
John White.
That's not the same guy from Pocahontas, right? That's somebody else, right?
I'm pretty sure that's somebody else.
Okay, because I was thinking, is this a prequel to Pocahontas?
No, because this guy was, like, older. He had, like, a wife, a daughter, and a grandchild already. So I think he was already
big. You think I'm an ignorant savage?
Oh, God.
I was going into the colors of the wind.
Oh, dear God. Yeah, no, sorry. I don't think it's the same guy.
You know what? I just looked it up. It's John Smith. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, sorry. You're right. Yep. So, right first name, wrong last name.
Voiced by former boy toy Mel Gibson. No longer a boy toy.
Definitely not a boy toy anymore. Nope. Nope, nope, nope.
And you know what? He was not a boy toy even before his whole, like, anti-Semitic rants.
Yeah.
I would say that whole Jesus arc that he did.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny. Was it one of my high school teachers who mentioned this in one of his classes or something like that? That if you look at, like, the characters he plays, it makes sense that he has this whole fixation on the story of Jesus and the cross, because pretty much every role he's ever taken, he, like, plays this martyr part where, like, his family's all been killed and he's looking for revenge or, you know, something like that. And if once you see that pattern in his movies, you can't unsee it. And it's like, oh, dear God, he's playing the part of Jesus in everything he's ever been in. This is fucking ridiculous.
So you think he's building towards Jesus? So is his whole career slowly building up?
I think he he's Jesus. So that's what he's played his entire career.
Even his role in What Women Want, he was Jesus like in that.
Well, he's like this guy that has, you know, he's lost his, he's divorced and he's losing touch with his daughter and stuff like that. It's not as pronounced, but there's like undercurrents of it.
Okay.
And he's like humbled, you know, everything's stripped away and he has to earn things back. Like he loses the big promotion and
what's his most Jesus besides playing? He didn't play Jesus. He just made a movie about Jesus. It was James Caviezel. What do you think was his most Jesus-y role?
So one of the big ones that comes to mind is Payback. You know, his wife's life has been destroyed. Like somebody tried to kill him. Everybody thinks he's dead, but he actually had escaped. Now he's all healed up and he's back for revenge. So that's got a very, like, died and came back 3 days later vibe to it.
Ooh, I got one. I'm
going
to go with The Man Without a Face.
Ooh, I don't think I've seen that one.
He's in some kind of horrible accident. He's, you know, he was this handsome man. He's in this horrible accident. He gets, like, his face gets burned and scarred.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, so, yeah, I'm going with that.
So
that's my pick. Or the one where he gets frozen in time.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He comes back. It's kind of like Captain America, but it's not really. He's not a superhero.
Yeah, that's a good one. Also, Mad Max, very, like, post-apocalyptic and everything. But his wife and child are killed in the street.
Ooh, yeah.
And he is, like, he has his leg mangled and everything, and he's left for dead on the side of the road. And he, like, drags himself back and, like, goes after everybody that, you know, had wronged him. Also, the first Lethal Weapon movie.
Pre-Rene Russo.
Yeah, the first one, though, before Rene Russo's in it. He plays this guy who's, like, suicidal. He's a cop who is suicidal because his wife has died, skidded off the road and drowned in the car, died in the car accident, whatever. And, yeah, so, like, he's, like, this broken man and whatnot. Yeah, so there's a definitive theme to his roles.
Ooh, I love it. I stand. You know what? We need to do after we do Scrubs and Tubs, we're going to do, like, the Mel Gibson movie night podcast. And we should just go through all the Mel Gibson movies, like,
one by one and just, like, dissect it into his, like, Jesus fantasy.
Yeah, then when we get through, like, all, like, 48 movie, whatever, how many movies you did, we'll finally decide which one is the most Jesus-y of them all.
Oh, you know what? Signs. He even plays a preacher in that.
Oh, yeah, I guess I see it.
His wife has been struck by a car by somebody who was a friend of the family and dies.
And he's got weird kids.
And he has lost his faith. He's losing his faith in God. Doesn't want to necessarily be a preacher anymore, and then he has this whole experience with these aliens, and it brings back his faith that everything happens for a reason, and like whatever.
I'm gonna throw this out there. I always can mix Signs up with Scary Movie 3. Like, which one is?
Which one's the actual what happened?
Yeah, like which one's parody, which one's not? Because I'm always like, I thought it was Charlie Sheen that was in Signs. Whenever anyone brings up Signs and talks about Mel Gibson,
yep,
I'm like, no. No.
Charlie Sheen. Yeah, no. Scary Movie 3 is Charlie Sheen.
If only we could get Cher Horowitz from Clueless, the character from Clueless on the podcast. She can give us the her hot take on this, because you know she like her pussy was tickled pink for Mel Gibson.
Oh my god! So on that note, let's get back into the story of Roanoke here.
Hold on. Anyway, before we get into Roanoke, can I go grab another limoncello?
Yeah, go for it, boob.
I think I'm going to need another limoncello to get through the rest of this episode.
I think you might. Go for it.
All right, I'm sorry for all this digressing. I think I'll allow you to get back into the Bucks basics. It's been like an hour. It's been 86 years.
You're totally taking on, like, my role, because I'm usually, like, queen of digressing.
Yes.
So it makes sense that since I'm leading the whole investigation on this one, that you're taking on that digress.
Now you know how I fail every week.
Yep.
Yeah, deal with it, duck you.
Deal with it. See, I don't mind it. I kind of like the digressions, but the fans have a higher demand for the facts here, or what passes as facts in our research.
Or whatever that one angry iTunes podcast listener had to say.
Yeah, whatever.
I listened to 40 minutes. I didn't hear anything about a goddamn mystery or whatever he said. Or she.
Yeah, like, deal with it. Look at how long the episode is and maybe gauge what it's going to be like. And maybe read the description where we clearly say we digress a lot. Anyway, on with the show, I suppose. So John White, governor, he's like headed back to England. He's like trying to get some fresh supplies to beef up this colony. He gets there just in time for the queen to be like, oh, yo, you got a ship. Guess what? We're in a major naval war with Spain. You're going to go fucking fight Spain. And he's like, dude, I'm just here for some snacks. So he doesn't make it back to the Roanoke colony until August of 1590. Yeah, 3 fucking years later. I'm pretty sure if he was like trying to get their supplies and stuff, 3 years later is not an appropriate shipping time.
No, those poor Roanokeans were starving. They just wanted some Doritos and Cheetos and Fritos and Cheez-Its.
Yeah, and he, like, takes fucking forever because the queen's like, you go fight the Spain people. The Spanish. Go fight the Spanish, yeah. So
what was the, what war was this?
It was a naval, I didn't catch the actual, I didn't do a lot of research on the war. It was just a major naval war with Spain, with the Spanish Armada. So he was, like, sent to go fight the Spanish Armada.
Oh, is it that one? Is that the war?
Well, the Armada is their ships, their fighting ships.
The 1587 Spanish-English War. Let's look this up, because I don't think I know this.
I'm not really familiar with it, but I'm not a huge history buff, so.
Oh, shit. Oh, yeah, this is the Anglo-Spanish War from 1585 to 1604. I know this. Okay. All right. It's been a hot minute since I've
had
a last time brushed up on the Anglo-Spanish War.
There you go.
I'm sorry. We'll save that for our war podcast.
Yes. It's
coming in like 2026 if we're still here.
Yeah, if we're still, you know, on the airwaves.
Or on the recorded airwaves, like the downloadable waves.
If Captain Trump's hasn't wiped us all out by then.
Yeah.
He's like, he gets back in August of 1590, he's like, yo, end of the summer, pretty nice weather here. I am, like, so exhausted from fighting all those Spanish peeps. I just want to go see my wife, my daughter, my granddaughter. She's, like, she was a baby when I left, so she's going to be, like, walking around now.
Yeah, she's going to be married.
Yeah, right. And I'm hoping to see all my favorite neighborinos here. Like, just just wanting to get back home.
Yeah, he picked up a six pack of Bud Lights.
Yeah.
Or whatever, Old English.
Yep.
He's ready. He's ready to party. He's got the latest. He's got the latest jams. The latest hot jams.
Yep.
On well, they didn't record the music. Maybe he brought like the music sheets back, and he was gonna play it on the flute for them. The windpipe.
Yeah, on the harpsichord. So, and he's like just ready to take a load off, deliver the snacks, and see all his peeps. And he walks into town. Lo and behold,
ghosted.
Everybody is just fucking gone. Just fucking gone. Like the whole town. Yeah, the whole town just fucking ghosted him. He's like, yo, where's Ashton? Am I being punked? Like, come on.
Yeah. Where's old timey Ashton? Where are you?
Yeah. There's no freaking note. Nobody left him a damn note. There's no dead bodies lying around. There's no, like, blood everywhere or anything. Everybody's just fucking gone. There's, like, not a lot of clues as to what happened. Pretty much the only clue that he could find is there is a word carved into the gatepost of the colony that just says Croatoan. They see also, like, the beginning of the word carved into a tree nearby. It's just C-R-O.
Oh, like they fucked up and they're like, all right, let's just go to a bigger tree.
Or, like, somebody was, like, hastily carving it and didn't have time to finish or something.
Oh.
So there have been a lot of theories about what happened. None that are super solid. Some that have had more merit than others, but yeah, there's been a lot of theories about this. Even back then, like they searched, you know, for the colonists, could not find anybody. Like they asked around, couldn't find any trace of where, like indication of where anybody had gone.
They didn't find like a plate on a table that still had like meat on it or anything. Like
no, everybody was just fucking gone. Like
just gone. Dishes were done. The dishes were done, man.
Yep.
Laundry was folded up. Like there wasn't anything like hanging on the hook. Nothing indicated people to leave in a rush.
Right. It was just like just fucking empty place. So
like the pig wasn't on that little like spit fork thing spinning around still. Like a rotting pig, yeah.
Right, yeah, just like slowly turning on the spit, yeah. So we're going to talk about some of the theories here. Let's start with the one that is brought up by that pretty much the only clue that was left, the Croatoan, that word. So that was actually the name of a local native tribe and the island where the native tribe lived, and it was just a tad to the south of the Roanoke Island, so like little short boat ride between the two. So one of the main theories is that the tribe invaded the colony, slaughtered everyone, or just took them all. So the slaughter, yeah, okay, that's I guess possible, but where's all the like dried blood, the, you know, rotting corpses, like what, where's the signs of like a battle? There's no like arrows sticking into the walls. There's not like a bunch of like crushed skulls and shit everywhere. So
like a dresser is overturned and all their little old-timey clothes are strewn all over the place, or like arrowheads.
Yeah, there's not a sign of like a big fight that happened here. That I mean, the colonists would have fought to the best of their abilities if they were being like, you know,
yeah, well,
killed.
Like the natives were like, let's make it look like a break-in or something.
Oh man. So then there's also the theory that they were just all freaking kidnapped by this native tribe, which, yeah, that's got some merit.
Yeah, but I'd still say like you'd still see signs of a struggle though, like in a kidnapping situation, like maybe a mirror is broken, a looking glass.
Yeah, there would have been, I feel like there would have been some other signs of potential, like probably somebody would have been killed in the altercation, whatever. There should have been some kind of indicators of that. But that is like one of the main theories. Other people think that the colonists tried to make their way back to Merry Old England on their own because no fresh supplies arrived since, you know,
okay,
John White there got waylaid by the war. So when their supplies started running out, maybe they were just like, hey, we can get this ship from so-and-so and just try and make it back to England on our own because we're not going to make it through the winter or whatever, so that maybe they tried to do that and actually got lost at sea or slaughtered by some Spaniards, because there was a Spanish colony in Florida. So there was since that war was going on, there was the thought that maybe the colonists had tried to head back to England, and the Spanish colonists from Florida had come up the coast knowing that there was English colonies there and, like, you know, basically sunk that ship.
Do you think it's possible that the Roanokeans just went the wrong direction? They went south instead of north and just, like, went to Florida?
Yeah, you never know. Maybe
out of Vanitu Ami Ami?
Right? You never know. Maybe they did try to make it back to England, but got lost due to a storm pushing them off course, or not having somebody that was actually a very good navigator. Maybe they ended up in the Caribbean islands or something. Who knows?
Or maybe they got stuck in a really, really, really long timeshare meeting. Like, presentation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if they ended up in Florida, it's entirely possible. Those never-ending timeshare meetings. Maybe they're still there to this day.
Roberta Roanoke, she was just out looking for some berries one day, and she came across a Spaniard, and he was like, hey, come here. He's like, can I interest you in some classy cabins? Like, if you're just looking to get away for a hot weekend with you and your fam. And she's like, sure. So she went to it, and she liked what she saw, and then she grabbed everybody else, because, you know, I always got to tell a friend, because you'll get, like, extra discounts if you tell a friend.
Oh, yeah.
She grabbed all her gal pals. They all went down, and, yeah, now they're all just kind of chilling down in, Cocoa Beach, sipping on, like, out of little coconut cocktails, and we're just like, yeah, fuck Roanoke. You know what's nicer down here? Warm sand, bluer waters, palm trees.
Yeah, less work.
A little more relaxing. We can just relax. Yeah, we can retire here. We're in our 20s. We're about retirement age.
We might as well. Yeah, we might as well retire in our old age. So anyway, so another theory is some people think that the colonists might have actually gone to the natives for help.
Oh, yeah.
When their reserves started to run low, and you know, they didn't have any indication that the governor was going to be back with fresh supplies anytime soon. So they might have gone to those neighboring tribes and just, like, looked for help, and might have been taken in by the tribes, like, just, you know, absorbed into the tribe and just, like, yeah, become one of us, basically. We're going to help you out. You can just chill with us, and we'll show you how to live. And that they even might have moved inland with the tribes, with a tribe or more than one. There's a theory that the colonists broke into two groups.
Okay.
And, like, each went their own way. Like, one went inland, one went to the Croatoan island, and were assimilated into different native tribes that way. And that's actually one, that theory seemed like it had some really good archaeological background to it. There was,
we go into archaeological corner right now.
We're going into the archaeological archives here. So there was actually some studies. There was a ring found, a gold ring with this, like, lion or something carved into it, which that, when that was found, it was on the mainland. It was in North Carolina. It was, like, on coastal North Carolina. So when that was found, it prompted a big, like, dig and study, and they found more remains. Like, they found some, like, pieces of, like, metal from swords and crap, pieces of pottery, slate writing tablets and stuff like that. And all of that seemed to point to the, groups being absorbed into local tribes is a pretty viable option and explanation of what happened, since this was found around all these other, like, tribal artifacts in the area. So this was, like, viewed as the most promising information, because it had actual, like, pieces of items to back up the theory. And that was, you know, one of the big things was that gold ring was really the crowning jewel, so to speak, that led to the finding of all these other things. But it was also because the ring was gold, and that wouldn't have been a common metal. So it would have been something that was like a prized possession, like a family heirloom, you know, something that, person that owned it would have held on to. It wouldn't have just been like given away or lost or whatever. So that was like what pointed to it the most. But then like 20 years later, there was some further testing on the ring, and they're like, yo, this ain't gold. It's actually made of brass.
Brass?
Yes.
Ooh, got brass. In pocket.
Baby got brass. So the significance of that is that brass was a much cheaper metal to use for things. So a lot of like cheap trinkets were made of brass, and those trinkets were commonly given in trade to local tribes. So like a colony was like, oh, hey, you have some corn. We really want that corn. Here, have this little brass ring in exchange for the corn. You know, that was just a commonly traded substance. Like they'd make something out of it and give it away. So that means that it really doesn't point to definitively a colony, you know, person having that and it being in this. It could have just been something that had been traded to that tribe where all this other stuff was found.
Okay.
So, yeah, because the original thought was like, oh, this must have been dropped in the sand or something by a colonist. That's really not necessarily the case. There's still a lot of debate about that. There's people on both sides. Some people say, well, because we found all this other stuff, it still does point to this strongly, and it really is the answer. And then there's other people that are like, yeah, but native tribes could have also used those other things. Just because they happen to be around has no clear indication that this has to do with the Roanoke colony. I feel like I'm going to sneeze. So I'm like pausing.
Let it out. Let it go. Let it all out.
Snort. It just wouldn't come. Sorry. Let's move on from that. So that was like a big thing. There is another piece that was actually thought like, this is the answer. This is going to give us the answers about what happened with the Roanoke colony. So this is actually like, this is something that happened in 1937. So there was a tourist from California was in North Carolina, and he finds this stone in coastal North Carolina, like 50 miles inland from where the Roanoke Island is. And it's got these engravings on it that are like weird markings. So he brings it home and shows it to a friend or whatever. And it ends up being researched and looked at by some universities and stuff like that. And supposedly the engravings are a message from Eleanor White Dare, which is Johnny Boy's good old daughter. And it's a message to her dear old dad. And supposedly,
okay.
So we have a quote here. Do you want to do a voice for this quote, or do you want me to read it?
I guess it's the lady voice. So do you want to do lady voice?
I can try. I'm not as good with the voices as you.
I mean, I'll do it if you want me to. It don't matter. I'll do it. Hold on.
All right. So this is supposedly what is engraved on this stone.
All right. Quote corner. I'm working on my voice. I am now Eleanor. I'm dear old Eleanor. How old was Eleanor? Do we know at the time? Ish?
We don't know, but she had a daughter of her own, so she was at least probably like 10. I don't know.
we're going to pinpoint her. We'll say she's like late teens, like 18 or 19 for the sake of the story.
Okay.
For the sake of the story. All right. Hello.
Sure.
Hi, I'm Eleanor White Dare. You know and love me as Johnny Boy's daughter. And here I am just leaving Roanoke one day with my gal pals. We're going to go have a little Sex in the City lunch. A little inland, you know, it's a little brisk day here on the coast. It gets a little chilly here sometimes. Our little little skirt bottoms float away, so we don't want that. We want to be modest here. We want to be modest, plus we met some cute little native boys. We want to go impress them, so... all right, we're going to head in. So we're heading inland, all right? And, I don't know, shit goes awry. Shit goes awry. All kinds of horrible stuff starts happening, and I just want to leave a message for dear old dad. I didn't bring my little quill pen with me and my little parchment paper, but I do have a stone tablet and, I don't know, apparently some sort of carving tool. Some sort of carving tool that I can carve into the stone, and it will last until 1937, the Lord's year. And it's the same a year before... Gone with the Wind and Wizard of Oz, I think. I think there'll be big blockbusters that year. Yes, I'm a soothsayer too. I didn't tell you that. All right, so anyway, let me see. Make me a little chisel. All right, here we go. So Virginia went hence unto heaven, 1591. Father soon after you go, for England we came hither. Only misery and war resulted... Oh, sorry, that's not part of the quote. Only misery and war, that's where it ends. Because I, you know, my hands are tired. These hands are tired from chiseling. You know what, I'm a calligrapher, I'm not a chiseler. I didn't take chiseler at Roanoke High, at the little annex. They have a little, like, adult annex classes. We don't have it, they didn't offer it, so I just did quill work. Right, but I gotta go. I'm gonna go pass away in the bushes and never be heard from again. So farewell.
So yeah, to clarify some of that quote. So on one side of the stone, it said the first part, and then the only misery and where. Or
I'm guessing misery and war because it's like wildly misspelled.
War. Oh yeah, war. Yeah, because it's 16th century yeah. English, so it's all like extra E's and
yeah.
Only is O-N-L-I-E and misery is M-I-S-A-R-I-E. Like, what the fuck? So resulted in the deaths of more than half the settlers. The engraving indicates that the remaining colonists were killed by what is spelled salvages, but equates to savages, except for seven who were taken captive. So that wasn't in quotes, but like that's the gist of what was on the backside. So
Miss Eleanor White Dare didn't have her Merriam-Webster's with her old English Oxford dictionary.
I mean, she might have because that's 16th century English. That's yeah.
Oh, I don't know. I don't know. I've only read like one Shakespeare play.
Yeah, what I know. Is it Macbeth?
maybe. I don't know. No, maybe I've read two because I've read Hamlet, Macbeth, and Romeo and Juliet. So I've read three. Sorry. No bone zone. Retroactively.
Yeah.
No bone zone. All right.
Retroactive. Yeah. No bone zone. So, but wait, there's more.
Ooh.
So the authenticity of this stone came into question when a bunch more freaking stones started popping up. There were more than 40 engraved stones that were found, quote unquote, and have been, and they were actually purchased like by a university who was studying the one found in 1937. And so like when these other ones started popping up, like people in the area were like, oh my God, I found this weird stone with these like markings engraved in it. And the university was like, fuck it. We want that. So like they went out and they bought these and started like studying them and found they revealed definitively that they were fakes after scientific analysis. So like people maybe got wind of the first one that was found and started faking some to try and get some money out of it. Or all of it was faked. It's hard to say. There's still kind of a toss up if the first one was actually legit. But the other ones didn't do, you know, any favors to believing that it is. So that was like a big like hoopla when there was, you know, people thought we were going to have an actual answer, but we didn't.
All right.
We didn't get an answer.
So I'm looking up the stones right now. So I'm trying to, it looks like a bunch of images come up. They're different stones, so I don't know which one.
Yep.
Which one is which? But I'm gonna the Dare Stone, as they call it. I'm gonna.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of don't buy the stone theory for some reason. I don't know why. I just don't really. I don't buy it. I think just trying to like engrave a message that long into a stone would just take a long ass fucking time. Unless like Virginia Dare had, I mean, not Virginia, Eleanor Dare had nothing but time. Like maybe she was.
Yeah,
captive somewhere.
I don't either.
Freezing to death or.
It just doesn't make sense because they did have like slate that they would write on and everything, and they had like wood to carve in and things like that. Things that would have been a lot easier than carving shit into a fucking stone. And it was found inland. Like if she had like carved on the stone a message for her father, wouldn't she have left it at the colony where she knew he was going to show back up looking for them? And if this is like this is what happened, wouldn't she have left it in the fucking colony?
I mean, I guess there's multiple ways you can look at it. Like, may, as you said, there's the whole the misery and war theory,
mm-hmm.
where something horrible happened, they had to flee, and they were just running for like hours, and they finally got a moment to sit down and rest, and you know, they were camping for the night, and Eleanor Dare just put that left that note there, and she knew like maybe one day John White, you know, he will not rest until he finds the colonists, but you know,
yeah,
he didn't. So, you know, that's I guess that's one way to look at it, but I just kind of thinking of it from a wear and tear theory as someone who's been to the Pilgrim Hill,
yep.
Monument Hill or whatever it's called in Plymouth.
Yeah.
Where they have the old gravestones from the, you know, the early 1600s. I mean, I don't know what they looked like in 1937, but in like 2009, they were barely legible. You couldn't read the names anymore. You couldn't make anything out.
Yeah, even just the wind and the rain does a number on stuff like that. One little piece that I'd like to bring back up, this isn't regarding the stone or anything, but it kind of goes back to like the whole tribal theories. So from what I saw in information, the Croatoan tribe were actually, they were a friendly tribe of natives to colonists. So the whole theory that like the Croatoan tribe came in and slaughtered everybody is a little, I'm skeptical to that just because there's other references saying that this was a friendly tribe of natives. There is mention of another tribe that was unfriendly to colonists, which was the, I can't pronounce this, I don't think. It's the Wanchese, Wanchese tribe. And they were definitively unfriendly to colonists. So there's the theory that maybe they actually went in and massacred the colonists. But then why would there be the name Croatoan carved in the post? Yeah.
I have a hot theory. All right.
Yeah.
So the colonists, the Roanokeans, that's what I'm going to call them. They were only aware of the Croatans. Croatoans. They were only aware of the Croatoans, and
I don't think they were only aware of the Croatoans.
All right.
I think they were aware of the other tribes as well.
Okay. Well, maybe they thought that it was the Croatoans. Maybe this other tribe was masquerading as the Croatoans. Maybe this other tribe was studying them and saw that they were kind of, you know, they were adapting to the land pretty good. They built these little huts, you know, they kind of built a little community, and, you know, maybe they needed something from them. Maybe they wanted to put them to work, had to build weapons to, you know, fight some of the other tribes, you know, so they came in, pretended to be the Croatoans, and they all just kind of like gleefully went with them, and then they got back to wherever their like their new lair was, the little like Legion of Doom somewhere, and they just kind of revealed their true intentions, and that was the end of the Roanokeans.
Okay, all right, I see where you're going with that.
And then one of the guys on the way out just wrote like Croatoan on the tree because he's like, hey, we're going with the Croatoans, and they really weren't. So like, you know, when you come here, look, go to the Croatoans, and they went to the, I'm assuming like the first place that John White went to was the Croatoans, and they're like, we don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
Right, yeah.
We've just been sitting here fucking making, like, little peace pipes.
Yeah. And that's, you know, it's so hard to say. And of course, because this has been such a long mystery, like, and just how creepy it is that they just, the people seem to have just fucking vanished. It really has, you know, been a continuing on, mystery for people in the area, but people just throughout the country. And it has led to it being featured in some prominent pop culture. Like, there's an episode or two of the show Sleepy Hollow that talks about the Roanoke colony and gives other theories of why the word Croatoan was carved into the post. And then, of course, there's the season of American Horror Story that centers around the Roanoke colony and with a theory that it moved inland during, you know, the winter and stuff to try and find more food sources because they were running out of supplies, blah, 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 blah. So that kind of they kind of pick on a couple of different theories in that and then just ran wild with it for you know, the storyline of the show.
Entertainment
yeah,
purposes.
For, you know, purely for entertainment purposes. But they do kind of bring in one of the theories that the colony moved inland, never to be heard from again.
I kind of buy the theory that they went back to England and they just got lost at sea or whatever.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe they were teaching the Croatoans how to read and write in Old English. So that's why the name's chiseled on the tree.
Right.
And the first one they saw was just like the first three letters. It was like a fuck up. And they're like, oh, we'll just go to another tree.
It's possible. Or, you know, it maybe that yeah. doesn't. I mean, there was this is a substantial gap in time, too. He left in 1587 and didn't come back until, you know, more than halfway through 1590. So that's a big gap in time. They could have left in like 1588. And
just went elsewhere or tried to go back home.
Right. Or like they could have tried to go back to England in like 1588 or something and just left the colony as is. And maybe the tribe went over to that other island to, you know, search for.
Survive.
Right. Well, like just, yeah, like look for food. Maybe they were hunting deer or something on the other island or whatever. And maybe they utilized, the remnants of the colony for something while they were over there, and maybe just carved their name in it to leave their mark that they had been there or something like that. Who knows? 3 years is a long fucking time.
Virginia gets pretty cold. It's, you know, it's not really south. It's not really north. It's kind of in between, but they get snowstorms. They get nasty weather and shit. So it gets cold and, you know, being on the coast.
Well, this is North Carolina.
Oh, North Carolina. Yeah, it still gets cold up there. I mean, it gets cold where I am and I'm in South Carolina.
Yeah.
So, you know, they were like, it's windy and shit and it's cold and it's brisk and, you know, they don't want to hang out there. And they're probably like had a difficult time surviving that first winter that they were there. So they're like, let's get the fuck out of here. Maybe they told the Croatoans, they're like, hey, we're going here. We're going over here. We're going to just put your name on the little tree trunk over here. So when John White comes back.
Yeah.
You know, when John White's come back, just tell them where we're at. And, you know, maybe they just forgot, like time forgot. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I mean, 3 years, it's a long time. You know, people could have died. So one thing I didn't include in my notes here that is mentioned like in every little piece of research that I saw is they keep referencing the granddaughter. So her name was Virginia.
Ooh, yeah.
So that's the one that's supposedly mentioned in the carving by Eleanor. Virginia is her daughter. And she was the first English baby to be born in the American colonies or something like that. So like,
is that what they say? Virginia is for lovers.
That's weird. But yeah, so like that also brings in another piece of history to this, which you know, might be why this is such like an interest to a lot of people and just keeps coming up as a focal point for different people of, you know, why it's so mysterious and whatnot.
Ooh, I like it. I dig. All right. Well, I mean, we'll never know. The world will never know. It's like trying to get to the center of a Tootsie Pop.
Right.
The world will never know. But you know what? The
world may never know.
We'll speculate. You know, every so often, someone might find a little piece of artifact that might give a possible clue, but no one will ever know. Until we invent time machines,
no.
We'll never know. We'll just go
right
to our graves.
Which, the way the world's going right now, I'm not thinking that's looking very plausible.
Yeah. All right, so there was one thing that we didn't possibly suggest as may have happened to the Roanokeans.
Oh, really?
You think, you know, maybe they got there. It was that first winter. They gathered a bunch of weird plants. They started burning them to keep warm, and it just kind of, there was a little, like, suspicious plume of smoke maybe floating above the village. Perhaps, mayhaps. Maybe it caused their minds to falter a bit. Maybe they started acting a little strange, a little weird, a little kooky.
I think I know where you're going with this.
Yeah, I don't know. This is one avenue, I think.
I don't...
We'll have to explore next week, I think, because we need to...
You know, I think we're going to have to explore that next week because this was not mentioned in any of the research I found. So we might be on like a super hot new trail.
Ooh.
For this mystery.
Are you saying it's a trail of chems? Like weird chemicals?
I think I might be.
That may have caused the Roanokeans to just go crazy. Maybe they burrowed themselves underground. Maybe they swam blindlessly into the sea. Who knows?
A hot theory here. Maybe it was chemtrails from aliens and they were abducted. Like the chemtrails like came down and like did that whole transportery thing and they were abducted by aliens in the chemtrails.
Yeah, this is pre 1990s alien technology, so they had you know, they were kind of, it was kind of steampunky.
Yep.
Back then.
Yep.
They were working off coal
yeah.
and fossil fuels to float through the sky. So yeah, join us next week when we get to the bottom of it. We think we've got it solved.
We think so, and we're gonna have to really delve into it next week. We're gonna get into some real hot scoops of chemtrails.
Juices.
Deuces.